That says nothing of the resurrection. That says nothing of the life of faithfulness that we're called to and get to follow Jesus in, even in difficulty. But I guarantee you, she knows every ounce of that. And that is the gospel they're sharing in Tajikistan. What a blessing. Wow. Well, y'all didn't come to see a guy my size cry, so.
It'd be worth coming for.
It's a scene nonetheless. Well, so we said it last night. You know, the mission is simple. And we read it last night, right? You know what presuppositions are. It's those things that we can just agree on, right? We can jump in because we agree. Do we agree that the mission that Jesus left to his disciples is to go therefore and make disciples of all nations and baptize those that place their faith and trust in Jesus in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the one God revealed in three distinct persons, and then teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And don't forget, I'm going to be with you all the way to the end of the age. You say, how are you going to be with us, Jesus? It's real simple. I'm going to go away so that I can pray to the Father, and He's going to send one like me who's distinctive from me, but has got a direct connection to me, and He's not only going to be with you, He's going to dwell in you, and He's going to be there consistently. And you're going to walk that out. So can we just agree that Jesus left us a twofold mission? Reach and teach. What's the mission of the church? Say it with me. Reach and teach. If it's not reaching, if it's not teaching, we need to be quitting, because that's not the mission. Everything's got to be tied in. So presupposition number one. You say, well, all right, where does that happen? Well, He's already said all nations. Then Jesus broke it down in Acts 1:8, and He said that I want you to make disciples in Jerusalem, and I was talking to Pastor Conrad today, and I said, I'm just going to share kind of the way I think about these very real places, because those apostles and those that were on the hillside when Jesus said this before He ascended up into glory, they knew these places. And Jesus was actually saying, go to these places, but they also had like relation to them in their goings and comings. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And I say, okay, so those are real places that Jesus actually wanted them to go with this message. But when I think about it, I'm going, so do I need to jump on an airplane and go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria? Yeah, maybe. To the ends of the earth, definitely. But how do I package it? Okay, so I think about it this way. It's where I am, Jerusalem. It's where I go, Judea. It's where I'm not wanted, and possibly where I might not want to go because I'm not wanted, but it's to them too. And then it's anywhere I've never been. Well, that just pretty much lays it up. So what are we to do? What was it? Reach and teach. Where are we to do this? Everywhere, where I am, where I go, where I'm not wanted, and where I've not yet been. And how am I going to accomplish this? Again, Acts 1:8, what does He say? You'll receive power, not superpowers. I would love for that to be the case. If I could have any superpower I wanted, it would be that I could just blink my eye. Like, you remember Jeannie? Jeannie could blink her eye and then she could be somewhere else. Man, I'd love to exercise that across Orlando. I'd come over here and see y'all all the time if I could do that. He didn't say He'd give us superpowers. He said He'd give us equipping. He'd give us the power to accomplish what? Witnessing the things that they saw and heard of Him. Crucified, buried, got up from the dead, tangible, ate and drank with us, and ascended back up to the Father with a promise that He's coming back. Now go tell everybody what you've seen and heard, and then communicate to them everything that I've taught you. You're like, well, how are we supposed to do that? We've not seen Him and heard Him. Oh, yes, we have. We've seen everything that God led them to record, and we got everything we need to share. So the mission is clear. Go and make disciples. Now here's what I want to tell you. I know your pastor pounds this message over and over. So I don't intend tonight to exegete the text. You were so gracious to me. And you let me go way long last night because I was just excited about what I had to share. That's on me. Tonight, can we just practically think about how to accomplish this enormous mission on a practical level? And can I just go ahead and tell you, I'm glad you're all here. But my heart tonight is to speak to those in the house that feel the most overwhelmed by this prospect of reaching and teaching and all these places. And how in the world are we going to accomplish? If that's you in the room tonight, that's who I'm thinking about. Because you know what? Often I can get really overwhelmed by the magnitude of such an enormous mission. How are we to do that? And I want to give you a threefold strategy. I'm just going to lay it out right here real quick, and then we'll just go through them. You ready? Here's what the threefold strategy is. Number one, pray. Pray. Number two, prepare and practice. So we're going to pray. We're going to prepare and practice. And then we're just going to participate. When many times people hear, go and make disciples, the first thought that goes through their mind is knocking on a door of someone they've never met before, coming to the door angry that you're there, bothering them during dinner time, and you having to say something like, "Hi, I'm here from First Baptist Church of Geneva, and I just wanted to tell you about Jesus and invite you to church." And can I just tell you, that frightens me. Because I don't want the solar salesman showing up at my door. I certainly don't want to hear somebody's religious jargon, and we get overwhelmed. And you know, there might be a place for that. And if God has gifted you to boldly walk up to that door and knock on it, then you go knock on that door and you tell them about Jesus, because God is going to equip you in a unique way to do it. But most of us go, "Oh, what? Is that what it means? I can't do that." And I think we limit and we don't realize that our role is exactly what Mark just said. You ask, how do you share the gospel in Tajikistan? And he says, you just incorporate the gospel into your normal conversations. Did you hear me? You that are the most overwhelmed, I don't know who you are, but I know you're out there because you're one of me, okay? You're like me. You just allow God to make the gospel so central to your being as a disciple who's decided, you know what? I'm going to want what Jesus wants more than what I want. I'm going to accept the fact that this is going to be an uphill travel and an upstream swim. And I'm just going to abide in Him and let Him resonate within me. And I'm just going to let Him become central so that what I talk about, I'm talking about the gospel ultimately, no matter where the conversation might begin. And we let God use us as we're going to plant or water or harvest, whichever one we may be at that time. Let's break down this strategy. Number one, and this is so essential, we don't do this. At least, I don't do this enough. Pray about God using you as a disciple maker. You say, I can't do that. Well, then I don't know what else to tell you. Because Jesus has said you could. And Jesus has called you to it. And Jesus has said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's nothing more in accordance with Jesus' name, His will, His desire, than the thing He said He wants us to do. So when we go to Him and we say, God, I don't know how You're going to use me to make disciples, but I want You to do it. You know what He's going to say? You got it. And He's going to work in you if you'll just ask Him. I was at a NAM evangelism training just 2 weeks ago. God was great. Spent 2 hours. It was awesome. It was great. And I know, it was great. I appreciate what they were doing. He brought up an illustration and he said, guys, I want to encourage you to begin praying for Bob. And of course, my ears popped up and I'm like, Bob who? And he says, here's what we've started in our church. We've started encouraging folks when it comes to the gospel work of making disciples and sharing your faith. We've encouraged folks to begin praying for Bob. Number one, God, will You give me a burden for the lost? God, will You turn my heart toward the things that Your heart is turned toward? And you know who His heart is turned toward? The lost. How do you know that? Because that's who you and I were. And He says, pray that God will give you a burden for those that are outside of the faith. You know what God's going to do? He's going to grant that. And He says, and then pray for opportunities to come your way to share the gospel. If you ask God for an opportunity to do the thing He's called you to do, He's going to open up that door. And then lastly, pray for boldness that when God gives you the burden, it's heavy on you and opens the door of opportunity, that you actually follow through with what He's brought that opportunity to you for. And that is the communication of the gospel. We need to, more than anything, as it applies to the mission, is pray that God will prepare us to do the thing that we're the most overwhelmed by. And that's just sharing our faith. If you're overwhelmed by it, I get it. And the best remedy for being ready for that opportunity is just to ask God to do it. Just remember, pray for Bob. Burden, opportunity, boldness. But then we need to prepare. We need to practice, because here's the problem. Too many folks are communicating a substandard gospel. They're leaving out things like human sin. Why does God want to save me? Well, why do I need saving? It's because of sin. Well, where did sin come from? And it's important to communicate all of those necessary elements of the gospel. And you don't have to be a theologian to do it. You could just write down in your Bible four words. Four words are creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And what that does is give you the components of the gospel where God created. It's important to understand that we started with Him, but that creation knowingly and willingly disobeyed, which is why we do what is wrong, because of the fall. But not only are we fallen, but God in His grace, in His mercy, in His love, has provided for redemption. Redemption gives us the opportunity to talk about a substitute, one who came and died in our place and for our sin, and no sin of His own. And we can talk about how that God of creation put on humanity so that He could come and be incarnate like one of us, giving substance to that Christmas story, and how that He laid His life down on the cross and was buried a very dead man. But on Easter, what we celebrate is that dead man, the God-man, got up victorious, having defeated death and hell and the grave. And you know what He does? He begins the work of restoration in you because of redemption. when by faith we put our trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, saying, I'm denying all others and I'm picking up your cross and I'm following you daily. He gives us that redemption, that new life. We're adopted and born into a new family. And then he begins that work of restoration in us. We tell the true gospel, but we have to be ready. And listen, believe me, you're saying, Pastor Kevin, I'm overwhelmed because I don't know how to do that. Well, there are so many tools out there that can help you prepare. And they're real simple tools. And they're really accessible. So accessible that I found one right out in your foyer. I found a device that most people believe are designed to give to someone for them to read. People don't read today unless it's on these things. So most of, and again, I'm not saying if you got a stack of these and you're giving them out, bless your heart, give them out in the name of Jesus. But just understand that most of these you hand out are probably going to get tossed. But these are fantastic tools for you to take home and scour and get your little notebook out and begin writing down these things in a way that you can express them. And it's a great tool for you to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up every morning and in my quiet time or devotional time or whatever it is, I'm going to go through the four spiritual laws. And I'm just going to right there alone, I'm going to communicate to no one. The empty chair that's going to represent the opportunity that God's going to open. And I'm just going to share the gospel until it becomes so much a part of me that I could do it in my sleep. And that I could turn a conversation about the basketball championships or the hockey playoffs or the problem that someone is facing and just felt like they could confide in me and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. And you could say, I don't know what you're going to do either, but has anybody ever told you about what Jesus has done for you? Well, no, they haven't. Well, let me tell you, because you've been prepared and you've been practicing. And listen, you're overwhelmed. Don't let it overwhelm you. Just work through it and then realize that that's the stuff that the Holy Spirit's going to pull out of you and put to work by His power if you're just willing to be bold and take opportunity to do it. Don't be overwhelmed. God's called you to it. God's called me to it. And He delights in using us little weaklings, us little frail, fragile beings to accomplish His enormous purpose, which is making disciples. You can do it because He said so. But it starts with prayer. Consistent. What would it look like if every gathering at First Baptist Church, whether it's a corporate worship service, or it's a praise team gathering, or it's a small group session, or whether it's a youth group meeting or a kids meeting. What if every service, every gathering, you decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray for the lost in our community. We're going to pray for the lost in the circles that we run in. And we're going to pray for Bob. We're going to pray for our burden, opportunity, and boldness. Do you think God's going to answer those prayers? Absolutely, He's going to. You are called to reach, and you can do it because God's going to empower you. And it doesn't have to be jumping through hoops. It's just leveraging conversations and allowing what's most true about you to come spilling out. But you got to take advantage of that. Listen, some of you in the room are not prepared right now to share the gospel. And you know what? The best thing you can do is just own that reality and let your pastor or your small group leader or let somebody involved in leadership of this church know that you aren't prepared to share the gospel. You say, I'm not comfortably ready to share the gospel. And these folks that love you and are trying to equip you for the work of the ministry will go to great lengths to prepare you
to be able to do what God's called you to do, which is the mission. It's not just reaching. It is reaching. Secondly, it's teaching. And I understand that that is possibly something you think you're not gifted at. And you know, the reality is that everybody doesn't have the gifts needed to teach a formal class. But if God has given us the mission to teach them the things that He has commanded us, then that means He has every one of us in mind. So that by necessity means God wants to use us in the teaching aspect of believers and as they walk in the faith. You say, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Well, it starts at home. Parents, grandparents, you know it's your job to teach the children that are in your care the tenets of the faith. And it can begin as simply as a children's Bible that you're reading the stories through and that you're learning yourself because you're reading them at a simple format. And God is using that to equip and to build you as you're pouring into those that He's placed in your care. You're the primary teachers of your children and your grandchildren. But you also have an opportunity to teach others that are around you. And everybody at First Baptist could be and should be a part of the teaching ministry of the church. You say, well, if everybody's teaching, who's going to be learning? I'm not saying everybody needs to teach a class. Everybody needs to be a part of the teaching ministry. How do we do that? Well, what's our strategy? Pray. God, will you give me a burden to teach the principles that you have taught me and are teaching me to others that are coming into this body? Will you give me a burden for that? Because right now, you might not have a burden to teach. God, will you give me an opportunity to teach and to be a part of building others? I guarantee you, while there might not be a class for everyone to teach, I guarantee you that man sitting right there will have plenty of opportunities for you to be a part of the equipping process in this church. There's never no need for folks that are going to help in kids' ministry. And what is that? That is teaching. There's never going to be a time when our youth ministry workers are going to say, you know what, I don't need any more adult help in youth ministry. They're never going to say that to you. You could come alongside a kid and by playing Uno with them, you could be teaching them principles of God's Word. You don't have to be the youth pastor to be pouring into those that God has put in your circle. God, give me an opportunity. He will. It's announced every week. You just got to take advantage. You're going to because you're lastly going to pray for boldness. That when that opportunity is laid before you, you say, boy, I just don't feel like I'm prepared for this, but I'm going to step into it anyway. And part of that preparing is the continuing to learn. You know, you're not going to learn. Can I just meddle? You guys have been real gracious to me. Can I just say something I know is going to be hard to hear? Unfortunately, faithfulness in this nation right now, in the house of God, under the teaching of God's Word, has become 2 times a month. You know how I know that? Because I see it in my congregation. I got 3 groups of people that attend Oasis Church. What I call the A team, they're there every week. I call the B team and the C team, who I'm sure they've got a text thread out there somewhere deciding who's going to come on the other 2 weeks. I'm just not a part of it. If I could get in on that text thread, that would be great. At least I would know who's coming and when. Because faithfulness has dwindled. And again, it's not about checking a box, and it's not about that outward expression. You know what it's about? It's about coming and soaking up the truths of God's Word in the context of the body so that we are prepared to teach those who don't yet know those truths. And we're not going to be able to teach it if we're not learning it. And it doesn't stop with Sunday. If that's the only time you eat, you'll be a frail individual. It's about personal Bible study. It's about reading books. This brother will give you a list of books that will set you on a journey of education. You say, I don't read that fast. Then don't, but just be consistent. Books, podcasts, YouTube. You got to be careful with YouTube, though. Talk to your pastor, you know, because there's some crazies out there that you won't want to follow. And run things by him. Hey, is this a good one? Is this not? But engaging in learning so that you're prepared to teach and then participate. You got to give it a try. You got to step in. I just saw a slide earlier on. Y'all got VBS coming up. What would it look like if you had to start turning people back from VBS? Because you just had so many people sign up going, I don't know what it looks like, but you know what I want to be? I want to be a disciple on mission. That clown said something about teaching, so I'm going to show up and trust God. And you're like, guys, listen, we've got so many volunteers for VBS, we just can't take anymore. Can we find you another? How exciting would that be? You got to participate. You got to step up. You say, well, I just don't know what that's going to be like. You won't till you step into it. And then what you'll discover is that the Holy Spirit within you will aid you and work through you to accomplish the very thing. There will never be a time that you're not needed to train those that have come along. Man, the mission is simple. Reach and teach. How do we accomplish that? We get on the same page with God about it. We start asking Him the things that He already wants to do. We put forth the effort in preparation that He's going to bless. And then we step into it. And guess what we become? We become that mobilized body of Christ in Geneva, Florida, and wherever in the world we go that the gates of hell cannot stand against. Will you have to say no to you every day? Will you have to embrace the way of suffering more than you can imagine? But will you be doing it by yourself? Not one minute, because He's walking right with you as you abide with Him and walk with Him and fulfill the mission that has been given from the time He left, and it will be in effect until He comes back. Y'all, it really is that simple. But it starts with the want to. That make sense? Okay. Man, that's a lot in a little bit of time, Pastor Conrad. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Every disciple needs to respond. Here we go. Are you ready right now to share the gospel? Are you ready right now? If yes, look, if yes, please, please, please tell your pastor within the next week. Send him an email. Send him a text that says, Pastor, I am prepared. I'm ready to share the gospel. I'm ready to share the full true gospel with somebody. You can count on me. And you know what he might just do? He might just put your name on a list that he can call on to say, I've got a brother, I've got a sister who's coming along in the faith. Will you spend a few coffees with her, with him, to teach them how to share the gospel? That's called multiplication. That's called reaching and teaching. Be ready. But if you're not prepared, it's okay. It's just not okay to stay unprepared. Let him know. Let him know. Get ready. Get prepared. Are you actively involved in the strategy of this church to teach new believers how to follow Jesus? If yes, please don't quit. And please don't ever buy into the lie that says, well, I've done this for so long, I guess I need to move out of the way for the younger generation to come. Don't buy that lie. If you got air in your lungs, if you got ability to do what you're doing, do it till God takes you home. And be in that role and teach these young whippersnappers how to do it once you're gone. But don't ever abandon your station. You keep at it and keep at it and keep at it for God's glory. But if you're not involved, if you're not engaged, please, please, please don't stay there. Believe that God wants to use you. Believe that He will use you. Believe that He delights in using us that don't have a clue what we're doing, because He gets all the glory for it. And step your little self over in that arena and just watch what God will do in you and through you for His glory. Y'all ready to charge? I mean, come on. We ready to charge? Because God want to do something at First Baptist Geneva. If He don't, we got to quit and go home and find something better to do. But if He's right and He's true and He ain't never lied, well, we can get in line and watch what He does. Amen? Amen. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to pray. Here's what I'm going to do. You're going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you. And I'm just going to ask God to move. While we pray, God, I just ask, in the name of Jesus, that You'll give us the courage to confess our mission apathy. God, forgive us where we've known what You've called us to do, and we've just simply been okay with not caring. We wouldn't admit that we don't care, but our actions display that, and it's everywhere, God. We confess that. We're so thankful that Your grace is sufficient and will forgive us and wash us and restore us. God, we confess and we want You to clean us. We want You to restore our union with You so that we might actually be on mission as Your faithful disciples. And God, I just want to ask on behalf of my brothers and sisters that You'll give them, that You'll give me a burden. Give us a burden for the lost. Help us to recognize we'll never look in the face of someone for which Jesus did not die. Everybody we come into contact with, regardless of what they call themselves, regardless of how they look or sound, they are folks for which Your Son willingly gave His life. God, let us see people like You see them. Give us a burden for the lost. And then God, open up opportunities. Show us those opportunities. Help us to see them clearly and recognize this is a divine encounter. God has put this person in my way and is calling me to represent Him. Help us to see it and not walk away from it. Give us boldness that we might share at the very least what we know of the gospel that we have received, and give us the courage to know and press in and prepare to tell more and more of the story of Christ. Give us boldness. God, I pray that You will move in Geneva. God, for Your glory, for the sake of the kingdom, God, would You bring about many souls to this church? Not from other churches. I know You're going to do that from time to time. But God, would You grow this church by folks that need to be baptized because they've never heard the gospel until they encountered somebody from this ministry? And then they accepted Christ and You brought them to faith, and now they want to express that publicly through baptism. God, would just bring a revival of salvation to this place for Your glory. It can't get no closer to Your heart. I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Pastor Conrad, that's you.